Mr. Welch, for questions, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hayward, is it true that in 2005 the Texas City operation owned by BP blew up, resulting in the loss of lives of 15 workers?
That is true.
And is it true that in 2006 a BP oil pipeline in Alaska ruptured and spilled 200,000 gallons of crude oil?
That is true.
And is it true that in 2007, when you took over as CEO of BP, the corporation settled a series of criminal, not civil, criminal charges and agreed to pay $370 million in fines?
That is correct.
And is it also true that in 1 year, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, found more than 700 violations at BP's Texas City refinery and fined BP what was then a record fine of $87.4 million. Is that true?
That's correct.
And is it true that earlier this year, a BP refinery in Toledo, Ohio, was fined $3 million for willful, and I emphasize the term in the finding, willful safety violations, including the use of valves similar to those that contributed to the Texas City blast?
That is correct.
And is it true as well that the U.S. Chemical Safety Board, which did investigation into the Texas City refinery, was headed with the active participation of former Secretary of State James Baker? You familiar with that report?
I'm very familiar with that report.
And in that report, which you, I take it, regard as credible?
I believe it's very credible, and it's the basis on which we moved forward in 2007.
And that report, and I quote, found that BP management allowed operators and supervisors to alter, to edit, to add, and to remove procedural steps at the Texas City refinery without assessing risk. And the Baker panel examined all of BP's U.S. refineries and found a toleration of serious deviations from safe operating practices. Is that an accurate statement of the findings of Mr. Baker's report?
It is an accurate findings.
Well, did that systematic change that you say you implemented as a result of the Baker report account for the reason that at Deepwater Horizon, when faced with the choice of a cheaper and quicker casing design or a safer design, BP chose the cheaper and quicker casing design? Did you do that on the basis of the recommendations of the Baker report?
As I've said, we need to wait for the results of the investigation to conclude. If there is any evidence whatsoever that people put costs ahead of safety in this incident, then
well, I'm not going to ask you
action.
What their reason was, but I'm going to ask you, in fact, it's not in dispute that the choice was made to use a cheaper and quicker casing design rather than a more expensive design. And I'll ask you again, there were fewer casing centralizers than some folks were recommending. Is that, I'll leave out motivation, but there was a choice of more casing centralizers or fewer casing centralizers. More cost more, fewer cost less. Which choice did BP make at Deepwater Horizon?
The decision taken by the engineering team at the time, which was a technical judgment, was to use fewer centralizers rather than more. It is not always true that more is better.
And BP chose at Deepwater Horizon not to circulate drilling mud that would have cleaned out the well. It chose a lighter saltwater base for the cementing procedure. Is that correct?
The procedure to displace the mud was a procedure that is not uncommon in the industry. It was a procedure that was approved by the MMS prior to implementing it.
Are you saying you made the right choice in this case?
I'm not able to make a judgment as to whether the right choices were made.
Well, you're the CEO.
But I'm not, with respect, Congressman, a drilling engineer or a technically qualified engineer in these matters.
But you're in charge of them.
That doesn't mean to say I'm an expert.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the frustrations that I think folks have is who is in charge. And there was a Baker report that said that there was a systematic choice being made consistently by BP that led to the loss of life, that led to pollution, that could be attributed to a decision based on saving money, increasing profits at the expense of safety, and as it turns out, unfortunately, human lives. You know, I'm going to get back to what I asked you earlier. I think all of us live in a world where we'd prefer to have fewer regulations rather than more. We'd like to rely on trust and faith in our word rather than regulations and checking over your shoulder and all those things that I think both sides find annoying. But I'm going to ask you the question, does a CEO who has presided over a company that's incurred $370 million in fines, whose company was subject to this report by Mr. Baker, indicating a choice at the expense of safety. Does that person who's presided over almost $100 billion in loss of shareholder value in the suspension of a $10 billion annual dividend, who's lost the confidence of shareholders and regulators, and most importantly, the families and citizens of the Gulf, does that person enjoy the confidence necessary to continue acting as CEO, or is it time for that CEO to resign?
I'm focused on the response. I'm focused on trying to eliminate the leak, trying to contain the oil on the surface and defend the beaches, and to clean up the spill and to restore the lives of the people on the Gulf Coast.
That's
what I intend to do.
Yeah, I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
That concludes questions by members of the subcommittee. As I indicated earlier, members of the full committee will have an opportunity to ask questions if they so choose.
Well, yesterday, Mr. Hayward, I think BP took a very constructive step in agreeing to deposit $20 billion in an independently administered fund to compensate victims and to pay for the cleanup. It was a first step in establishing confidence in BP, confidence that BP's words would be matched by their deeds. But today, regrettably, your appearance here has done a good deal, at least for me, to erode that confidence. We know you're not an engineer, and we know that you were not on the Deepwater Horizon. But your answer 65 times that you don't know to questions that were reasonably posed by you on both sides of the aisle erodes confidence. It doesn't inspire confidence. You know, the question that any company has to ask itself is whether it has strict procedures in place to make disciplined decisions that give it confidence that at a critical moment where the lives of its workers and the investment of its shareholders is at stake, critical judgment will be exercised. And that's the obligation of the CEO. However it is you accomplish that ability to hold your workers accountable and support them, that is the job of the CEO, whether it's a small company or a large company. And at that very critical moment, when that well was going to be capped and decisions had to be made about the sealing of the well, whether to use a cheaper and quicker casing design, whether to use more or fewer casing centralizers, whether to run a critical cementing test, whether or not to circulate drilling mud, it does not appear that anybody was in charge. And that's the erosion of confidence, because the lack of procedures, the lack of people being in charge and resorting to the least cost alternative clearly played a major role in this catastrophe. I yield back.
Thank you, Mr. Welch.